Support for this episode is brought to you by SipTequila.com. Did you know that you can go to SipTequila.com and enter to win a trip for two to the town of Tequila? Round-trip airfare and ground transportation, as well as two nights at one of my favorite hotels, Casa Sayas. You'll have a private tour of El Tequileño and a VIP tequila experience. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Just go to SipTequila.com to enter. Sweepstakes end on April 7th. That's SipTequila.com. Premium brands ship direct to your door. Starting a new brand can be a daunting task. Building the right team is crucial. Everyone playing their role to create something special. My guests today have done just that. It's been a long time coming, but Tierra de Ensueño is finally here. We're going to hear their story and sip their delicious Blanco on this episode of the Agave Social Club Podcast, hosted by me, Doug Price. Welcome to the show. This is the Agave Social Club Podcast. My guests today are getting ready to launch a new brand that you're going to want to get your hands on. I'm here with one of the founding partners, Matt Robertson from Tierra de Ensueño. Matt, thanks for being here. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Doug. Excited to be here.
Matt, you're a marketing executive with your media company, Planet X, out of New York, where you've worked with a lot of spirits, and people may also recognize you from the documentary on Netflix, Longest Third Date. This is where at a time you just started dating a girl. As you guys met through a dating app, you decided for your third date you needed to be adventurous, and you take her to Costa Rica, only to be put on lockdown as COVID was unfolding. How long did that third date last?
79 days, Doug.
79 days. And I'm sure the tequila community is on the edge of their seat dying to know, are the two of you still together?
I mean, I could tell you, but then you wouldn't go watch the documentary, right? I don't know if we want to have a spoiler disclosure here.
If you want to know, it's not like this is The Sixth Sense, but if you want to know, make sure you go watch it on Netflix. So you finally make it home from Costa Rica. And then at what point did you start the process of wanting to create a tequila brand? Was it before then or was it after you got back?
Well, it's funny. We definitely drank a lot of tequila while we were in Costa Rica. And that was a good thing to kind of get us through the ups, the downs, you know, the good times and the bad. That was definitely helpful. And, you know, it's been something for a while, you know, watching the tequila space. I've always appreciated agave spirits just on a personal level.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of people that have reached out to us, you know, like you said, having a spirits and marketing background, working with different, you know, types of spirits, but never a tequila. It's always been of interest. But we've been really kind of selective with who we bring on as clients and who we kind of partner up with. So we had a lot of people that approached us, you know, celebrities, non-celebrities, and never really had like the right fit. But that changed when we met some partners in Mexico that had a lot of experience. And they were actually a couple of the guys that used to run Partida Mexico. So shout out to JP and shout out to Benicio, our partners south of the border.
And those guys, they've got a thing. They've been on my show, the Tequila mm-hmm. Partners. And so I know they help brands. So you partnered up with them and I'm sure they helped you navigate, you know, a lot of the ups and downs, especially with Vinny there. I know JP was there for a long time. He's now moved to, I believe he's in Miami now, but he's there a lot. But I'm sure they were a huge help having you navigate it.
Yeah, it's really like a great partnership when you think about, you know, what everyone's bringing to the table. And that's really what we're looking for, right? They really understand everything when it comes to production, the players involved, how to make a great tequila, you know, building out that team. And we really understand how to execute from the marketing side, right? In the U.S. marketplace, how to get in front of accounts, you know, how to talk about it and talk with folks like yourself. So all the marketing side is really a good match with everything that they bring to the table. And so we started talking and realized, you know, this could be something that's bigger than maybe what any of us had in mind. And even for them, like you said, with Tequila Partners, they consult for brands all the time. When we started talking, we realized all the synergy that was there. And I think, you know, to kind of mention for them, they probably felt like this is a bigger opportunity to actually have a bigger piece of a brand and not just consult, but to own the brand. And that's where things started to take off and pick up some momentum.
Tierra de Ensueño, land of the dreams. It is here. It's been a long time coming. This is a collaboration. You know, there's a big team here, a lot of people involved. A collaboration between Sergio Cruz, your master distiller, and Oscar Vasquez Camarena, who I first met him. Yeah, he's your master blender. I first met him 3 years ago or so in Arandas and just fell in love with him. As soon as I met him, just such a sharp chemist and master blender. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, like the early stages of this. I know Oscar came in a little later, but the early stages of Tierra de Ensueño, new tequila brands are hitting the market at a rapid pace. And I know it's easy to think of all the cool and exciting things that come along with starting a tequila brand, but there's a lot. And I know you have the tequila partners to help you navigate, but there's a lot of things that you've got to work through as you're setting it up. And I know there's listeners that are going, hey, maybe one day I'll start a tequila brand, but man, what does it take to launch a tequila brand? As even right now, we've talked about how you've had to wait on some things and there's so many things outside of your control.
It's really quite the process, you know, and whatever you think it is going into it, it's like 10 times more than that. You just don't know what you don't know. Even having a business background, a marketing background, even having, you know, the team with JP and Vinny who understand how to make a tequila and how to, you know, make things work in Mexico and all the factors there. Having all that in place, it's still a challenge. You know, you can't control some of the unknown variables and things that come up and things you can't predict. You know, what's going to happen with the CRT today? You know, what's going to happen with some of the other regulations, whether it's on the US or the Mexico side? There's always surprises and challenges. You just kind of have to be flexible and adapt. There he is. Look who we have here. Our master blender.
So we've got Oscar just joined us. I know Matt was putting you to work. That's why you couldn't be here at the front end. You said you had a few things. You're at the distillery right now, and you said there's a few things that you needed to do.
It's going
to
work on the next batch of Ensueño, you know?
Somebody has to work. Good evening, nights.
Oscar, buddy, good to see you. Thank you for joining us. Man, we're really enjoying this Tierra de Ensueño, and we're going to talk through the production and your involvement with the master blending. Matt was talking a little bit about the early steps. Matt, when did this officially start? When did you go? I mean, was it 2021, 2022? When did you officially say, hey, we're going to really dive into this?
I mean, to be honest, this goes all the way back to like 2018 in terms of brands starting to, you know, approach us. And then I would say, you know, we had everything from tequila to mezcal and, you know, like I said, celebrities, non-celebrities, and didn't have the right fit. But over the last few years, we've worked with Vinny and JP. And, you know, once we had that team and understood that we wanted to do something together, the next part of the process was like, all right, we need to go get that next key team member. And then that was Sergio. That's where Sergio came in. We're like, we need a master distiller. We need to find someone that fits our vision of doing really progressive things, but being rooted in the tradition and heritage of what being a great tequila is, right? Doing it the artisanal way and, of course, not using additives. So that was the next kind of addition was getting Sergio involved. But it was also kind of unique in that we said, we really don't want to go to the same distillery. Usually when a new tequila brand comes out, right, they're going to have the master distiller of whatever distillery yep. they choose, you know, to do a private label for them. That wasn't really the case for us. We were open to doing it anywhere. So it was more about just getting Sergio on board and saying, let's figure out where we make this. Maybe it's at where most people are familiar with Sergio's work. Maybe it's not. And we actually jumped around a couple of times and, you know, ended up at a third and hopefully our final distillery.
How'd you meet Sergio? Did you know of him before? Did you know him before? Or was it JP and Vinny that introduced you? Or what was that like to, because this is a guy who, I mean, he's at the top of his game. And so I'm sure a lot of people want to work with him. And so for him to say, hey, let me look at this. You know, I think there's a lot of incredible tequila producers in Mexico. And some are very well known. Some are not as well known, still making exceptional tequila. And I think Sergio is one of these guys that, you know, he is very well known. He's a ball of energy, larger than life personality. And I think along with, you know, him, Oscar, yourself, guys like Chava, Alberto Partida, these are the guys that are going to lead the next generation of incredible tequila producers, you know, into the next couple decades. But, you know, how did you get him to say, man, I want to be a part of this?
Yeah, I mean, we feel the same way, you know, just to jump in there. We feel like those guys that you just mentioned are the future. And it's so exciting to have two of those guys as part of the team. And for me to have a really small part, like on a personal level, of being in this development team next to guys that I think are legendary and doing really amazing stuff, super special. Vinny and JP had the, you know, great relationship with Sergio, thought that based on our internal conversations of the type of brand that we wanted to create and the type of boundary pushing that we wanted to do, whether it's the types of barrels, types of yeast, you know, all these different things that you can play around with. We thought, okay, you know, Sergio might be into this. This is kind of up his alley of doing something unique. And we ended up getting, you know, him excited, and he saw the vision, and I think added a lot to it, of course. And then, you know, we started looking at, well, where are we going to do this? And that's where the next piece was, okay, the distillery. And we wanted to go to a distillery where we kind of had the ability to have a blank canvas. You know, you have all the great resources that you need, of course, you know, in terms of the facility and the production that has to be there. But, you know, a lot of people ask, what's your gnome, right? And it's, you know, that's kind of like the first indication of, oh, is this going to be a good tequila or not? And we wanted to kind of flip that, turn that on its head and say, well, you can make great tequila at a lot of different distilleries.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one was unique to kind of, you know, spoiler alert, we're at 1580. It's in a town of Jesus Maria. So it's in the highlands, a little over 7,000 feet elevation, really rich climate. We talk about terroir, like really, really rich red clay and a state grown agave, which was really unique and exciting for us to have, you know, a 3,000 acre estate that we can tap into as part of this partnership with a distillery. So we saw that as like the next piece. Let's not just go and buy from, you know, the market agave or buy bulk tequila and throw our label on it. That was never something that would, you know, I think JP, any of us like Sergio, no one would stand for that. We're going to do this our way. We found the right partner in the distillery with fifth generation, you know, shout out to Francisco and Maria doing amazing stuff. Some of the oldest agave that was ever planted in the highlands goes back to this family. And so we just felt like they were the perfect partner. And then Oscar, you know, is a great intro to how Oscar got involved. We heard that Oscar was a bit of a free agent, and we had to scoop him up because we thought he is, you know, one of the future, and what a pairing with Sergio and Oscar. So
Oscar, what has it been like working with these guys? I mean, you're a chemist, you're an incredible blender, but what's it been like working with these guys?
No, well, at the end of the day, in the beginning, it was a big challenge for me, guys, because as you remember, I was belonged to for many years into a big distillery, right?
Yeah.
When these kinds of opportunities start to came to me, to be honest with you, in the beginning, I was a little bit afraid. You know what I mean? Because it's a challenge. At the end of the day, as Matt was telling you, produce tequila, trust me, all the people can produce tequila. But not all the people produce a good tequila or a tequila with a high quality or just to enjoy it, right? Too many people ask me, what is a good tequila? Well, a good tequila is that tequila that you are enjoying and then the next day you are drinking more or the same. When I meet Matt and Vinicio and Juan Pablo from Tequila Partners, and they were talking to me about this new project, right, that they have. Because I jumped in this journey, in this project in 2023, if I can remember. In that time, they are working with Sergio, actually, right? And they started talking with me about the idea in order to get more specific profiles, more complexity profiles. So I say, and I am really honest, okay, if you think that I have a good idea in order to produce a different high-quality tequila, please give me the opportunity and see me here producing, helping to produce Tierra de Ensueños.
Yeah, you know, I first met you like 3 years ago. We hung out, and just spending time with you, I walked away going, he's one to watch. He's someone that I want to see over the next couple of years where he grows, because I knew you were going to continue to go on to bigger things. And man, just really great to see you back with these guys. We got to hang out a little bit back in September as you presented. And so it was great to see you there. I always like hearing the journey. I love hearing the journey of a brand. And I feel that with Ensueño, I've had the chance to watch some of this journey in real time and even see, you know, every brand's got ups and downs and go, hey man, this is just part of the journey. So I was first introduced, set this up for the audience. I was first introduced to this brand through an additive-free blind taste testing through Tequila Matchmaker. And Grover has said in the past that new brands will talk about how, you know, their tequila, it's additive-free, and it's at the same level of some of these other incredible brands that are out there. And he's always, you know, for years, he'll say, okay, you know, put your money where your mouth is. Like, let's put it to the test. Let's put it in with these blinds, with some of these other, you know, they do, this was an additive-free Blanco. So all of them were additive-free. And he said, Matt and the group, they were the only ones that said, let's do it. Let's go ahead and do it. This was, I think, you know, early last year, this was 10 samples, additive-free Blancos. I think you guys had two samples as you guys were still, you know, experimenting with some things and working on a profile. We knew nothing about the tequila. We knew that it was a new brand. Grover just said, two of these are from a new brand and they're going to be coming out soon. And personally, I was blown away by it. I tasted it and thought, whoa, there's something very special here. From the blind tasting results, as we were encouraged to write out our thoughts, and in addition to the number system that Tequila Matchmaker uses, it seemed like you guys continued to do a little tweaking with that profile. Is that accurate after you were in that blind? And what was that like seeing those results? Because I know it was positive, but it seemed like you guys still were not set on, hey, this is the final profile. But what was that process like?
Yeah, so it was definitely encouraging to see the results. You know, I think that it was really a big moment for us, right? You are going up against some heavy hitters. We didn't have, you know, some small brands in there. Those were the best of the best. I mean, there was Fortaleza in there. There was Ocho in there.
Cita Leguas, and there's some big brands in there.
We wanted to see, and you know, I think that Sergio and Oscar and the whole team, we felt confident that we could stack up and hold our own against these, but we also wanted feedback from people that are really big into tequila, you know, like yourself. And you know, we talked with Grover and Scarlett, and shout out to them for letting us be part of that process.
And they went through, you guys went through the program. I mean, you were confirmed out at a free that, you know, they put, just like they do for everyone else. And you guys said, hey, we've got nothing to hide.
Yeah. And it seemed like such a great opportunity. It's like, why wouldn't we do this? And it was really surprising to hear that other brands hadn't. And, you know, like at the event when Grover mentioned, we were the first one to kind of take him up on it. But the feedback that we got was really encouraging. You know, to see that we were right there, and we learned a lot even from how we presented the samples. I mean, when we first did that, we were kind of in a rush, and it was like, oh, we got to give the samples to Grover today. And I remember the guys were taking it out of, you know, these are barrel rested, which we'll get into in terms of the final profile. We were taking it right from the barrel. There was no filtering, there was no aeration, there was no anything. These were very raw, unfinished samples. And you know, Sergio and Oscar really explained to us after, like, we're competing with finished products that are on the market, and we're still within a point of, you know, the top ones. Imagine what will happen once Sergio and Oscar do their thing and polish this thing. So, right.
So like, we have that. And like I said, I was blown away by it. And then we fast forward a few months, and myself and some other pretty involved tequila lovers were in Mexico for the Tequila Matchmaker Additive Free Week. It was a Tuesday night, and we're heading back to Tlaquepaque, and Grover says, hey, I've set up a special tasting for a new brand made by Sergio Cruz and Oscar Vasquez. And he said, this is actually the brand that was in, if you were part of that blind, this is the brand that was in that blind tasting. So we all go, and this is a room full of people that really know their tequila. And I know Sergio wasn't able to make it. Oscar, you were there. You did a great job leading us through it all. And you guys had three samples for us to try. You shared more about the brand, and we're, you know, we're going to get into the production process there. There's a lot going on with this Blanco, like you alluded to. But we had these three samples. I know for myself, I wasn't as blown away by what I tasted the time before. And as it was solid and well-made, I kind of felt like the whole room was like, oh, this is a little different. And then you even said, I've got one more sample that I knew you guys were coming. We didn't even get the sample out. Do you guys want to try this last sample? And we tried the last sample, And I was blown away. And I was like, wait, what is happening here? But I love, and I say all that to go, there's power in that, because you guys weren't fully finished with the profile, but you still, you know, it's like an artist that's doing an art project and you're going, can I see it now? And you're going, well, it's not done yet. But you guys were saying, hey, we believe in this and we know we're still working through this. And with Oscar and Sergio, we know we're going to get to that final place of, wow, you guys are blown away. Did you guys walk away from that kind of a little defeated? Did you get that sense that we were expecting more, or what was that night like for you guys?
Well, Doug, in order to be honest, right now and that day, I was very nervous because my job or my skills is into a laboratory or in a production, not in front of the people or in front of the camera. I tried to give my best. And easy like this, at the end of the day, the people need to understand that we are making our best effort in order to produce a different flavor. You know what I mean? Because, and I told you, Doc, that day, imagine to be in my shoes that day when I was talking with people like you that know a lot how the tequila is made. You know what I mean? It's good, it's bad, the norm. So it's a kind of very complicated, actually. Try to convince the experts that we are producing a good tequila, right? Is it like that? It's a really good tequila. Why? Because at the end of the day, for example, in this moment, you can see big names, big histories, big brands in the market. And at the end of the day, who knows? You are the expert. You are the people that is drinking the tequila and say at the end of the day, yes, it's good, it's bad. I told in the beginning, produce tequila is really easy as can you imagine, or it's really hard as can you imagine, right?
Yeah, I think for me, like taking away from that night, you know, it was almost like trying to decipher the feedback, because there's a lot of different opinions, right? A lot of people that we really respect and wanted to hear, you know, your thoughts and input, and try to incorporate as much as we could into the final profile while still staying true to, you know, the kind of intent. And there's a lot of trial and error and things that we were doing. And, you know, I feel like Oscar had a difficult challenge of, like, he came into the process where we're like, you know, three quarters through on this first profile. And, you know, Sergio's got a recipe, we're working on it. And so to join the team so seamlessly and to collaborate and, you know, with the two of them and help with the blending, the finishing, the barrels, the different techniques that we can do to fine tune this. And that really was a great process to be able to incorporate that feedback and hopefully all of their work, you know, for me, you can taste it in the final glass, you know, you can smell it, you can taste it, and you can pinpoint the production.
And let me tell you this, guys, for example, talking about that, Matt and Doug, there is a lot of people that they like a lot of flavor in a tequila, but they don't like, for example, too much smells like, I don't know, agave cook or something. And there is a lot of people that they like very complex tequila, but not so aggressive. And there is a lot of people, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, again, try to get or try to find a good balance for all the palates, for all the people. Trust me, it's not an easy thing, right? Sergio, for example, Sergio did an incredible job producing, distilling the tequila. And my job was really easy. Just drink it and enjoy it. Try to understand how the tequila is thorning a little bit in the bottle, in the tank, once the tequila is produced. You know what I mean? Doug, you was in the distilleries a lot of times. When you try a tequila just finished, it's aggressive, kind of, right? It's high, it's warm, it's heat. But 15 days later, 22 days later, that tequila is an amazing wine, because now all the oxygen and all the mixture between the same alcohols now has a good balance, you know.
Stabilized.
Exactly. The stabilization process and everything. All the scientific part, we are trying to put all our expertise, again, in order to get a good balance between flavor, complexity, body, and to enjoy the tequila.
Yeah, and as I said, you know, there's not too many brands that are willing to open themselves up like what you guys have done, and, you know, and as you're working on this. And that is pretty commendable. And I know that Oscar, you and Sergio, you guys get back in the distillery and you guys continue to work on this and you guys have a final profile you guys are very confident with. And just like before, you say, hey, let's go and let's give it to the people and see what they think. And you guys go to the Monterey Tequila Festival. And I was not there, but I had so many people that a lot of them were with us that night in September that were at Monterey Tequila Festival and said, hey, we tried Ensueño, like the final Ensueño, and get ready. Because it is incredible. And so, look, the roller coaster of emotions, I'm sure, as you guys are kind of going, hey, here's our heart on the sleeve to go present it. But what was it like for you guys at Monterey to present it and go, hey, we want to introduce you to this is what Ensueño is. Well, how was that for you?
Yeah, that was really a rewarding feeling. You know, I was able to join JP out there and to, you know, just be out there with the community, right? Network with all the other brands and, you know, connect with the tequila community. But to get that feedback when they finally tasted the finished profile and to hear all the overwhelmingly positive comments, it was definitely like, okay, we did it, you know? And people yeah. actually said to us, they were like, you listened. People, yeah. people don't usually listen. You know, you took our feedback and we actually taste that you listened. You didn't just like, you know, go back and do your own thing and say, oh, no, which would kind of defeat the purpose of that focus group, right? But I would say it's a balance, right? What we're trying to do is we set out to make a tequila that is not only appreciated by folks like yourself, Doug, by aficionados and people that have a more complex, you know, palate, but we also want to get people that are just new into tequila, have yeah. something that's approachable enough for them. You know, maybe you're not used to drinking additive-free tequila. Maybe you're a little bit earlier in your tequila journey. We want something that's not too, you know, over here, right? Too far to the right of intensity and flavors that you can feel like this is something that you can start out with and still enjoy. So trying to find that balance, like Oscar, you know, mentioned, was really difficult. But I think we, you know, shout out to, again, Sergio and Oscar and the whole team for finding that balance. And I think it's really, really came out really nicely, even when it comes to the little details we'll talk about. Is it in a barrel, which is another unique thing. So there's so many aspects of this that really allowed us to achieve that balance that wouldn't be possible if we just came out with a typical 40% Blanco and did the, you know, traditional route.
Yeah. And Oscar, I'm sure it feels great to know, man, you guys have put so much into this and to go out, you know, Monterey, and I know Monterey, it was the last year that they did it. It was one of the most respected tequila festivals over the years, and just a great group that put that on. And for you guys to go there with, I mean, it's an intimate group. It's not a huge festival, and it's the people that are really into it. Oscar, I'm sure it felt pretty good hearing, I don't know if you were there, if you weren't there, hearing the feedback that people were talking to me about, like, hey, have you tried it yet? You gotta try it, because they were so impressed by it. That had to feel pretty good.
Yeah, well, Matt was inviting me, but I don't have visa, so I can join.
Okay.
But anyway, though, as you, too many friends, too many people has my personal number, has my personal Facebook, you know what I mean? And I am very open all day in order to try my honest opinion about the thing that we are doing, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, this is my job, and this is my passion too, right?
You're literally in a distillery right now.
Yeah, exactly. So in some point, I am working really hard in order to get my visa to say hi in person in the United States to all the people. But in the meantime, you know, I am a good friend, and I am always open in order to receive good opinions, bad opinions, because at the end of the day, as Matt told you, we are really open in order to listen the consumers. We are comfortable that, for example, Tierra de Ensueño, trust me, we are thinking in Tierra de Ensueño for all the consumers, right? Since the beginning, to the experts and all the public. And I am kind of comfortable, for example, if somebody, they don't like it so much, Tierra de Ensueños, but it's okay. Why? Because at the end of the day, we are open in order to give that feedback in order to, okay, give me your honest opinion, why you don't like it or why you don't enjoy it, right? Because at the end of the day, for example, if you don't enjoy it, but you like it, okay, that's your personal palate, that's your personal opinion. And then the truth is, not so many brands, they are open to listen the consumers, right? And at the end of the day, we exist. Thank you to the consumers, because trust me, Doc, not all the tequila that we are producing, it's more than enough for Matt, Sergio, you, and me, and all the Tequila Partners group.
Yeah, and so we talked about before, as you mentioned, this is coming out of NOM 1580, which a little different, as we, you know, Sergio's used to being at a different distillery. But NOM 1580, this Hacienda El Olvido, you know, this at one point was part of the Arte NOM program. So it's not like this is unknown. I mean, there's some history here, and they've got all the tools to, as you guys are showcasing, to make a really incredible tequila. I've got a bottle of Tierra de Ensueño here. I want to see, can you walk us through the production process? You know, you mentioned, hey, we're Jesus Maria, we're Los Highlands area, but walk us through this production, because, you know, this is a Blanco. There's something different you're doing just with the, you know, as a blender, you're doing something different with it, but walk us through a little bit of this process on how this is made.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as you say, in this moment, Sergio, it's a, has a good reputation in the tequila industry. He's working with several people like me, right? But this brand, for example, with Tierra de Ensueños, is the first brand that, and it's the only one that Sergio and I, we are collaborating. So it's the ideas of Sergio, is my own ideas. And yes, the NOM is here in Jesús María. So in the region of Los Altos, and in this moment, you know, a good brands it's producing. Yeah, for example, the main things is brick ovens, roller mill, and copper pot stills, right?
Yeah.
For the first and the second distillation. We are using some very funny combinations of yeast that is ideas from Sergio and I, because I have a lot of respect for Sergio. He's a master. He knows what he's doing right now. But at the end of the day, we need to get a very good equilibrium point, you know what I mean, in order to be okay or to be agree in the decisions. Sergio, for example, make a really good job, for example, in the distillation process. Why? Because, again, Sergio is a really good expert in the distillation, right? And I feel very comfortable working with his job or working with his ideas, because at the end of the day, he knows what he's doing. My main job or my main ideas, for say something, was just in the stabilization process and picking the ABV, resting the tequila some days in a tank before, make another dilutions. So kind of that, right? Talking about the process, Doc, I am very open to receive you and all the people that join me one day in that distillery in 1580. Because trust me, be part of the experience to be in the distillery is really different than I can tell you a long history, right? It is different.
And Matt, throughout this process, you know, you're tasting, you're going there in and out a lot. What was it for you? You know, this final process. I mean, this is, you know, like you're saying, brick oven, roller mill, deep well water. I mean, just great process here. But for you to get that final batch or to go, man, this is it. What was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was phenomenal just to witness, you know, these guys at work, right? You know, all the effort and hard work that goes into it. It's really something when you see it in person. I don't know if you're familiar, Doug, and like Oscar said, we'd love to have people come down. As soon as you drive into the distillery, first thing you're struck by is just the agave everywhere, as far as the eyes can see. And so having that single estate, fully mature agave, super high Brix content, you know, the perfect climate there, that high altitude, really unique terroir that makes it, you know, kind of its own unique thing. You know, it's not going to taste like the same that's, you know, in the town over. It's unique to that place.
Yeah.
And that plays a role into the yeast as well. But to be able to witness that firsthand, and I was lucky to be there and to stay through the whole production. And this is kind of low and slow when it comes to how you cook it and the way that we do things. And we were there for, you know, 12 days just to see this. It's not like a rush process where you throw it through a couple days and put it in the autoclave and add your speeding agents to the yeast and, you know, crank this stuff out in 48 hours. That's not how we're doing things. So it was really cool to see it and to kind of just have a small part you know, get to see all the work from the humidores to, you know, loading up the oven, extracting that in the mosto and seeing it ferment. Of course, we have the Mozart method, which is something that was a big thing for Sergio and what he learned from his mentor, Senor Solis, who was, you know, previously at Casadores. And, you know, it's just crazy how all these little things, they go into it and make a really big impact on the final profile. And then having been there, when you taste it, you can actually smell and taste. I know where that came from in the production, you know, because you smelt what the fermentation like was 5 days in, you know, it's pretty special.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, so we've got this Blanco and we haven't hit on this yet, but you guys are, you're putting this in barrels. This is, you know, you can be a Blanco and still go into a barrel just as long as you don't hit 60 days. And what are you guys doing? Is it 12 days or so that you're going in?
Each lot's going to be a little bit different. This particular first lot was 14 days.
Okay.
And we used some pretty unique, wheated bourbon. We call them extra rare casks because they come from a very coveted bourbon distillery, held some of the, you know, most prestigious bourbons out there. I'll let folks guess what it is. We're gonna keep that a little secret. We're all for transparency. We've got a lot of the transparency on the actual label, which you can see, you know, all the different facts like on the back of how this was made.
Yeah.
And there's even more on the website and social media, but we'll keep a couple little secrets just for fun, keep a little mystery to it. But they're pretty great barrels.
I mean, these are old casks.
Yep. They had bourbon for many, many years.
And then you decided to bottle it at 42%, which I love. I love, you know, going a little above that 40, that 80 proof. And man, on the nose, that vegetal, that agave is just so front and center, and a little color, you know, being 2 weeks in those barrels, you're going to get a little color, nothing crazy there. But even in the blind that we did, I could tell, I was like, this is like a heritage Blanco. There's something going on here with a little bit of color, but it is so soft. There's complexity. You know, when you said, hey, we want something that people that are really into tequila, they would enjoy. And then we also want to open it up to people that are just starting their journey. It's very soft. It's not harsh at all. There's still a ton of flavor. And it just, it's a really well-made, great tasting, something for me. I've not tried it in a cocktail. I'm sure it plays really well in a cocktail, but this is something to just sip on, you know, for you guys to come out with this and go, hey, this is our entry into the category. It's pretty impressive. And you guys, I'm sure you're pretty proud of it, but nose and palate. And this is a really incredible Blanco tequila.
Thanks, Doug. Kudos to Oscar, Sergio, the whole team. I mean, these are the guys that made it happen, and everyone at the distillery, you know, it's such a team effort with so many people involved, and to hear that feedback, you know, it means a lot.
Oscar, with 2 weeks in the barrel for this, I'm sure you played around a lot to go, hey, what is it like at this time? Or was it just, hey, you're aging to taste and you're pulling it every couple days to see, or what was that process to go, hey, for this one right here, 2 weeks this is where this wants to live?
Yeah, well, somebody has to work and somebody has to drink the tequila. And I am hitting Jesus Maria, so it's part of my duty, right? Now, when we are talking about, yeah, it's the hard part of the job. So when we are talking about a good way in order to make it special, this brand, in order to make it special, Tierra del Sueño, okay, why not use a barrel in order to rest the tequila, right? And it was a kind of a challenge. Because, for example, you know, talking about the law, minimum 2 months in order to be a reposado. But we are not looking for a reposado, right? We are looking for a blanco with all the characteristics in blanco. So flavor, profile, aromas, body. But a pinch of different thing. In this case, for example, the rare barrels. I don't can say the name. trying to get that balance, that smell flavor of wood, that smell flavor of reposado, for say something, right, in a blanco. You know what I mean? The main challenge was, okay, it's a blanco, still need to be a flavor of blanco, but different. And yes, you are right. In the beginning, we are tasting and tasting and tasting. We produce, I don't know how many bottles log of tasting, right? In order to, okay, 10 days, 15 days, 21 days, 7 days, different casks, because at the end of the day, every single cask is a little bit different. because we are not talking about a single barrel. We are talking about a whole combination of the barrels. And at the end of the day, the most we all agree, all the group, when we are tasting the tequila, that with 15 days in the barrels was a very good balance in everything. Right, it's a really good, it's a really strong blanco, strong for say something, but with a flavor, with aroma, with the complexity of a good blanco, with a pinch of a reposado, because it's not a joven, it's not a a mixture with another thing, you know what I mean? But yes, we are drinking a lot of tequila in the beginning, but okay, it's my fault. It's my duty.
Matt needed to be stranded again for a couple months, in Costa Rica with bottles of tequila to go through and to try. No, on the nose, I mean, I get hints of cinnamon coming through. I think that time in the barrel, it really does add some layers of that flavor there, and it still has all of the nature of a blanco. It just elevates it a little bit, where that time in the barrel, very, very good to sip on. Really, really am enjoying this. I know you guys said that, we talked about the Tequila Partners. Those guys have been a part of it. I mean, they said, hey, we want to be a part of this, not just be consultants in this. And they've got some other things that they're also working on that you guys said, hey, we want to be a part of what you guys are working on. They've got, is it Margaret? It's a cocktail, a ready-to-drink cocktail, cold-pressed juice. Yeah, I've had some. It's delicious. Tell me a little bit about, because you guys are involved in this project as well.
Yeah, Vinny and JP are just entrepreneurs and so excited to be in so many aspects of tequila, and they were working on this, and we started talking about all the things that we do on the marketing side in the US, and there's some synergy. We're like, hey, we might be able to help you guys out with Margaret. So happy to be a part of that team as well. Completely separate from Ensueño. It's not the same juice, completely different brands, but we are really excited to help them with what I think is one of the most premium and unique RTDs in the market. So this is a cold pressed juice.
Yeah.
So think of a margarita that if I didn't tell you this came out of this bottle that you can just quick serve, pour over ice, you would think that your favorite bartender made it at your local bar. It's that good premium tequila, and it's really fresh tasting, and it's something that I hope people will give a chance. Yo Soy Margaret, very cool, and yosoymargaret.com.
Yeah, so I've seen that starting to see it more here in the States as people are getting their hands on it. And I think, to be at home and have it is great, but I also think if you're at a restaurant or bar that is pretty quick, for them to have that there and somebody orders a margarita, they could pull that out and people would taste and go, whoa, this is a high quality margarita. So good. Again, I love seeing these partnerships as you guys go, hey, we the community is about elevating the entire category of tequila. And so for you guys to come together with that is pretty, pretty fun to see, and looking forward to seeing that. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is exciting for you guys. You guys, I'm sure it's been stressful. I'm sure it's been a lot, Matt, for you to go, hey, we're launching this. We've got the Blanco. What, anything else, Oscar, are you letting it hang in the barrel a little more than 14, 15 days? Are we going to get to a Reposado at some point, or are we just focusing on the Blanco right now?
Right now we are focusing in a big secret and in the big development. Just stay tuned, guys. I cannot say too many things right now.
It's just us three. No one's listening. Just us. If you want to share, just among friends.
You can be very sure that we are working on a very, very good stuff right now. But right now we are focusing in Blanco, right? And the people know about Tierra de Ensueño, right? We are really focused right now in Tierra de Ensueño, and the people know that it's a really high quality tequila. You can enjoy. You know Sergio, you know me, you know Matt, you know Tequila Partners, all the group. And be really sure that we are working in a different things right now. In a few days or in a few weeks, maybe Matt can tell you by himself.
a little more will come out. Well, again, guys, congrats on this. I know it's been a long journey. And Oscar, I mean, just to see your name on here with Sergio. You know, Matt's been very upfront about going, hey, this isn't me. This is these guys. These guys are the stars of this thing. And so for your guys' names to be on the front of this has got to be pretty special. So tell me a little bit, as this is, you know, starting to come out, we're going to start to see it. I know is the best place for people to find this right now to go to your website and to put in for their email, and then you'll be in contact with them? Or what markets are you going to start launching in as this is going to be quickly hitting the market?
Yeah, so right now it's pretty special. Doug, you actually have one of the very few bottles that are in the US right now.
I'll take it.
Yeah, another unique thing that happened was we actually kind of launched this thing in Mexico first, which is rather uncommon for new brands. So the first account to ever order in Sueño was in Mexico City, actually, at Soho House. And Sergio was able to join there for a members-only event where we did a tequila tasting and walked them through. So it was exciting to get things started in Mexico, and now for it to be coming to the U.S. As we speak, it's in a truck and on its way. So if folks are, you know, interested in getting one of the first bottles, you can go to our website, ensueño-tequila.com. And okay, if you put your email in there, we will send you an email with the as soon as this pre-sale is going to drop. So there is limited spots. Go on there, put your email, and we'll send you a note as soon as the pre-sale drops. And then outside of that, we will have it available in select markets. Mainly, it's going to be New York, Florida, New Jersey, and California to start. But okay, if you're able to take part in the pre-sale, and even after the pre-sale, once we open up a bit, we can ship nationwide to most states.
Well, I love seeing it. I love seeing it grow. And as it gets into people's hands, for them to give their feedback. For people that want to keep up with you guys, I know you're both on social media. If you want to share, you know, any of your social medias, just so I know people will want to keep up with what you've got. I mean, Oscar, you're everywhere, man. You're people want to keep up with you.
Yeah, here in Mexico, I have some kind of words. I am like a humidity, so I am in all the houses. You know what I mean?
Are you, Oscar, are you on Instagram or anything like that? If people want,
yeah.
What's your Instagram?
Well, my personal Instagram is Oscar Vasquez Camarena, right? My full name. Or my Facebook is the same.
Okay.
Or with Matt, and then Matt can focus some special questions or whatever you want. But yes, I am really open. If you have enough patience in order to understand my English, be my guest.
And Matt, for you to keep up with you, is the Ensueño, is that the easiest one to keep up with you?
Yeah. Follow us on Ensueño dot tequila. It's just Ensueño period tequila. You can get all the latest news and follow the story. We're going to be releasing a lot of behind the scenes from the first production, let you guys have a little bit more of an insight into how it was made and all the different techniques and the story behind it. So definitely stay tuned, follow it. And, really appreciate you having us, Doug, for the opportunity and for reaching out to, you know, stay in touch after the blind tasting. And
yeah,
that's why we're excited to be here, you know, and have one of the first bottles go to you. So thanks for staying in touch with us and for all the kind words.
Yeah, it was an honor and, you know, well worth the wait, all the hard work you guys have put into this. Matt, Oscar, please give my best to Sergio, and man, thank you for being on the show. And I'm looking forward to helping this continue to launch so people can try this, because it is worth them to try, and just a really great brand. So cheers and salute.
Salute.
Thank you.
That was Matt Robertson and Oscar Vasquez with Tierra de Ensueño. If you want to be one of the first to get a bottle, go to ensueño-tequila.com and sign up for their mailing list, as this will be hitting stores very soon. A big thanks to SipTequila.com. I'm Doug Price, and thanks for listening.